Hey there, loyal listeners. As you know, the Top Games podcast is made possible by Hardcore Gaming 101's Patreon supporters, who help keep this show alive by donating as little as $2 each month. If you were to join them in doing that, you would not only help keep the lights on at HG 101 Towers, you'd also get access to our super secret Patreon RSS feed, which is full of ad-free versions of this podcast with exclusive bonus game rankings. Here's a taste of what you've been missing. Hotline Miami. It's a great game. Doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, and it doesn't really matter because you're just some guy who like wakes up and gets weird messages on his answering machine, and then you go to weird places and you hit people with baseball bats and shoot people with a pig mask on
for really no reason, right?
No reason at all. No reason.
It's very willing to have that acid trip sort of.
Yeah, like personally, just speaking from experience, I've never like taken a bunch of crystal meth and shot a room full of people with a gun, but if I had, I feel like this would really be a good semblance of the experience. Go to patreon.com/HG101 and pledge a couple bucks. That's patreon.com/HG101. Act now and be a hero.
Some, this is painfully obvious, but hardcore gaming means it ain't for the novices. The main source to brain train your knowledge, a lane maintained with a course aimed at colleges. To HG101, we give the honor, thanks to Kirk, a lot of Xerxes to host it proper, as well as Satanga, Cal and Bobinator, Booker Hart and others discuss and discover all the 47,000 games, and when they rate them, you can bet it's scientifically locked in position. Speaking of which, no system is obscure, and look, they wrote a book about it, go out and cop yours.
Hello and welcome to HardcoreGaming101.net's Top 47,858 Games of All Time podcast, where we objectively, definitively, and scientifically rank the games that you nominate. My name is Xerxes, and I'm the show's main host and producer, and on this podcast we have three rules. Rule 1, all rankings are final, official, and scientifically accurate. Rule 2, you can nominate one game at a time via 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher. Those are the ones we try to get to first. You can also go to bit.ly/rankthisplease. and add a game to the slush pile and cross your fingers. We make no guarantees on those. Rule number 3, you can nominate games that have already been nominated, just don't nominate games you've already ranked. See the master list for yourself. It's at bit.ly/47kgames. That's bit.ly/47kgames.
Dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power. Hey, dog's power.
Dogs.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. On this episode, we're going to be talking about Dragon Ball Z Harukanaru Densetsu, which is the North American title. So that's the kind of game we're talking about. And who's talking about this kind of game with me?
I'm Carl, and I'm very impressed. It's really that's the name?
And this is to go even one clade beyond.
And that means he's saying that he's Clade. Harukanaru Densetsu.
So funny enough, that's not actually the Japanese title.
What? Oh my! What?
Now I'm just mad.
Harukanaru Goku Densetsu.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that is a little bit worse. What the hell does this mean? I get the Densetsu. I know that it's like the legend. All that.
So dragon is a great big mythical creature.
I know that part.
A ball is a spherical 3D object.
He's buying time while he rapidly Googles the definition of Harukanaru.
Oh, shit, that would have made a lot more sense. I should have done that.
Dragon Ball Z, a DS game, apparently.
Yeah, so while the Game Boy Advance had a great string of Dragon Ball games, the DS came out kind of poor on this one. So Harukanaru Densetsu is in the grand tradition of Dragon Ball Z Densetsu games in that it is a card-based RPG.
And did we mention anything about this game? I think we didn't say who nominated it.
We didn't. You're right. Thank you.
Such a goddamn professional. So
this game was nominated by Jume Sin, Jumesyn, possibly a person who is no longer on Twitter. At this point, I don't know how old this game has been nominated. It might be a slush pile. I don't know what's going on. It was developed by BEC. I don't know who they are. And it was published by Atari, of all people, in the United States. But, of course, Namco Bandai in Japan.
It kind of makes a little bit of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, earliest release date and territory is March 21st, 2007 in Japan for the Nintendo Dual Screen.
That came out on my birthday.
You were
Everybody,
born then?
Docs Clade. You have all the info you need.
I'm pretty sure if you comb through every episode, you could just steal his identity.
You could, yeah.
You don't want to necessarily.
If you, no, me especially. If you listen to every single episode I've ever done, you probably know way too much about me. You could fake me. you could impersonate me easily.
Chokes on
what?
You.
There's
have
only one original, baby.
You have my credit card debt from buying Sega Saturn games and all of my student loans. You can take
it.
I would
really
never buy Sega Saturn games with my own credit card. that's this game is it's a card. It's a digital, card game thing.
Yeah.
Is it based on a real card game? Because I know there is a Dragon Ball Z card game.
Nope. There was a Game Boy game based on the regular card game for Dragon Ball Z, but this is not it. Because
this is not like the Pokemon card game that we talked about.
No, I don't know if Japan's ever actually had a Dragon Ball card game until Super.
Oh, it has one. I don't know what it's for, but it's for something.
I mean, there's still there's arcade-based card games now as well, isn't there, for Dragon
Ball? Well, that's the one I'm thinking of. I don't know if it... Because we had one in, like, the early... when we first got Dragon Ball, we got one. And then they made a Game Boy Advance game based off of that. But I don't know if Japan has ever had that thing.
So. In any case, this one is an original game based... it's an original game, right? It's based on...
It's
the Dragon Ball
kind of a sequel
game story. What?
It seems like it's following a season of a TV show.
Oh, good lord! Okay, so it's based on the Dragon Ball Z, the Dragon Ball Z half of the anime. So, if our listeners, and I'm not entirely sure if my co-hosts are aware of this, Dragon Ball got split into two parts in the anime. After Goku becomes an adult and has a son, they call that part Dragon Ball Z. And everything called Dragon Ball Z...
Yeah, there's Dragon Ball and there's Dragon Ball Z. They're separate.
Yeah.
So this starts with where most Z things do, with Raditz coming to Earth, stealing Gohan, and then Goku, spoiler warning, dies.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, in this game, that lasts for all of what?
not long, but it does last for a while in the manga, like a good month.
Yeah.
Like it was in one manga release.
I gotta say, this game does, like, what I remember of the Dragon Ball Z show is a lot of powering up and talking about how you're powering up.
Yeah,
and,
that's entirely wrong.
I mean, it's the it's not a shonen, is it? Is it considered a shonen show?
Yeah, it's a show. It's in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, okay,
when they brought Shonen here,
you're telling me my memory is faulty then? Because I remember an episode.
No, it's like
of the show
entirely powering up. I'm just saying, like, it's, what's the?
Okay, so really quick, I guess, but we'll get into before you guys kill me like you did the 40K stuff. So the idea of this card game is every card has two stats. It has a power and it has a guard. You compare powers to each other, and then if you attack, you compare the winning power to the guard. Then you do damage that way. That's pretty much the game.
Yeah,
so it's basically like war. Ancient
sort of
card game.
I mean, it's,
of just
okay.
Nothing.
So the here's the strategy elements I picked up on, and it's not much, but this sounds like I'm right. Which is that each card has the power rating, which is in the one of the titular Dragon Balls. I got to say titular and balls in the same sentence, which is a good day for me. And it goes from one star, two stars, three stars, four stars, five stars, six stars, I guess seven, and then there's Z or Z.
There isn't a Z Dragon Ball, but there are seven Dragon Balls.
But there is a Z card on the thing, right?
Well, yes, that goes back to the whole series of these games.
Yeah. So, and that's like how powerful your attack is. And you don't know which cards you're going to get. They get dealt to you and you don't know what you're going to have. And you got to work with what you've been given and all that. And so a lot of times, like, the more powerful attacks will have a lower defense rating. And that means that, like, if you are over, like, let's say you have like a six star, whatever power attack, and it might have like a defense rating of three. So if you lose that one, if the other computer player plays like a stronger attack card, they will overpower you and you'll lose some health, right? And so that's kind of like the basics of the strategy as far as I can tell. But then there's other kinds of cards too. There's like helper cards that really kind of are just other attacks.
Well, those are like modifiers and stuff to basically mix up the
Yeah, there's like training cards which up the power level of the cards that are in your hand at that time. And stuff like that. It's kind of cool in a way because at least it's doing something with a digital card game that you couldn't do easily with a regular card game.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like we did COD Clash recently, which does a very similar numbers based thing where it's
yeah. I mean, it's like it's.
I'm just saying, don't be a coward and sharpie out your cards to add modifiers to them.
Well, yeah,
you can. There's some games that let you overlay cards on top of cards. It's very clever systems that have that sort of thing. But.
Well, I mean, like the Pokemon card game lets you do some stuff like that.
I mean, any time a card game in real life is like, and then put more tokens on it indicate this. I'm just like, no, I quit. No. Quit. Done. Nope.
Yep, we're done.
Cal flips the tables.
Yeah, I'm like, I can look at the numbers on the cards. I can read those. The moment you're like, and these chits mean this, and these chits mean
turn the card to a 45 degree angle to indicate that the character has been poisoned. How about you go over straight to hell, my friend? I don't want to do this.
That was the worst thing about the Harry Potter card game was you had so many
B's. There's a Harry Potter card game?
Oh, yeah. There's an everything card game, man.
Oh, God. All right, well. That's this card.
Whatever. So it's about this. Look, I mean, I think we all can agree that the Dragon Ball Z like storyline is not great.
Hey.
It may be great in the sense that Dogs Bauer is like one of the greatest characters in literature.
There you go.
But it's not great in the sense that it's something that anybody should like. You're not going to be smarter by.
Oh Christ, no! I've probably squandered the potential by watching.
Just trying Dragon to Ball understand Z. Dragon Ball and its various intricacies and eccentricities is just going to make you dumber.
Hey, wait a second.
But I think that the formula of the show does make sense for a card game.
Strangely. It's almost maddening in this game because a lot of the gameplay takes place on this map, which is kind of like a board game map. And you're just moving around on the map from square to square, fighting disposable chuds that the bad guys throw at you. And it's just interminable. It's like everything takes forever. Everything.
Yeah. This has never been a well-beloved series by Americans. They kept trying to push it. And once upon a time, the Super Nintendo version of this game was one of the most downloaded ROMs of all time. Because, but God knows why. It is completely beyond my ken. I love Dragon Ball. I think I've made that clear at least 6 times on the show. I love a lot of the video games, but I don't get this series. Although the good thing is compared to the older games in the series, you know how this game, we just kind of mentioned there's different kinds of cards that have items and helpers and everything. This game doesn't use kanji to represent the symbols. It's a bit forward thinking, unlike every other game that uses kanji.
So it's localizer friendly then.
Yes, which is another thing, because we kind of talked about the Harukanara Densetsu.
Harukanaru Densetsu. There's some alliteration there that you're missing. I'm sure there's deep meaning encoded into that alliteration, but I don't care.
It's all alliteration.
We're really trying to get the Dragon Ball Z card game to take off in the United States. And we've got this game, and it's called Dragon Ball Z Harukanaru Goku Densetsu. I don't know, how do we market this? Wait, that title, first of all, step one, that title is all wrong. We gotta have something catchy like Dragon Ball Z Harukanaru Densetsu.
We
get rid of the Goku. That way, kids know what they're getting.
Everyone will think that only you can play Goku.
Well,
it's just mind-bogglingly stupid.
Well,
just one word, that would be fine. Like, right? Ninja Gaiden famously is a game that didn't have Gaiden in the title, and they just added it for the American market. And it just happened to work because it was. An easy enough thing to pronounce incorrectly, most likely, but easy, and it sounded cool in foreign and Japanese, and it's like, it's a ninja game, so it works, but this is not good.
I don't know, like, the franchise itself is fairly Japanese, so, I don't know, like, I think it sells, like, a sense of, you're getting the real Dragon Ball stuff here, there's no vocalization.
No, you call it Dragon Ball Z, like
Legacy of Goku.
Card battle of card battler fracas, right?
No, you can't. You like, can't put the word card in the title. You don't absolutely do that.
Have to. This so people know what they're doing.
No, if they know what they're getting, they're not going to buy it.
Yeah, and there's also, like I said, an actual card game that has a Game Boy game based off of it. You know, actually, this isn't even the best card, digital card game based off of Dragon Ball Z.
Because there's one on the Game Boy. There's so many digital Dragon Ball Z card games, and this is so the best one.
At least 5 in this Densetsu series, because I think there's 3 NES games, 1 Super Famicom game, and a DS game. And then there's a Game Boy Color game that I think was only ever in America. And then, like I said, there's one based off of the actual card game that we had in America. And then there's a Switch game that's based off the arcade game that's based off a card game that's popular in Japan right now. So I've got a grand total of 8 Dragon Ball card games, and that's just right off the top of my head.
Yeah,
I don't know where to go
with this.
They
shouldn't have called it this. I don't know how else to say that. This is a bad title. Like, yeah. It's too many syllables. It's just crazy. You can't do... What? I don't care how much of a 12-year-old weeb you are. Like, you cannot
don't call
say that you looked at this title and understood at all what you were going to get.
No, they don't care. They don't... If they cared, they wouldn't be weebs.
That's not wrong.
Look, that's all weebs.
Right? You put I'm like, oh, it's got Japanese in the title. That means it's, good.
No, that means that they either they ran out of ideas, ran out of time, or just nobody cared.
You just would have called Dragon Ball Z Legend of Goku fighting things. That's not
the fact that Atari published it with that name just tells you everything you need to know.
That's they were doing good stuff with the Dragon Ball license at this point, but this one is so inexplicable. I just have no idea what the hell.
Is there anything else we can say about it? Okay, so I don't particularly like Dragon Ball Z. So I think all the characters look identical, and I think that they don't do anything interesting, and I don't think the jokes are funny. So tell me, as somebody who likes it, ironically or not, does this game deliver on that premise?
No, because it's not it's particularly punchy or you get to do really cool stuff. I'm not even entirely sure how you tell what cards do Kamehameha's and what cards do is a little swoosh and everything explodes. Not really a big fandom thing either, because as far as I got into the game, it just seems to be kind of following the story without a whole lot of what ifs.
It tells you the story without showing you the story. So I'm guessing
it does have some pretty good still images. I'll grant you that.
I'm guessing that the game is telling you the stories of something that would be an exciting episode where the green dude with the antlers whatever fights somebody and gets killed or not killed or I don't know.
Two exciting episodes. The rest,
gesticulating. That's a whole saga right there, and it happens on the game board screen, and it's just a little flashing icon of a dude, kind of bouncing on his heels Ryu style. And then, there's, a little fireball icon that appears and goes, oh, no, I was beaten up. And then it moves on. I was like, why even bother repeat this stuff? Just get to the card game. Why do you even care? You've also mentioned
the card game. I think it's got deck building, doesn't it, this one?
A little bit. Oh, yeah. Normal kill us if we don't mention the leveling system. So this game has the most inexplicable fucking level system of all time. The game gives you a capsule. And that capsule will boost up some stat. Now, I sound like I'm a little confused on this. And you think that's because, Clade never plays games and never remembers a damn thing. But, I hate to take you, imaginary internet commenter. The game is literally boosting some stat that is kind of tellable by color. Now, the problem with this is, one, the hint the game gives you when you can level up is... the game says, oh, just look at the color to tell what stat you'll boost up. The first time I did this, I was like, okay, my attack appears to be some sort of orange symbol. Now, the game gives you a capsule and lets you kind of throw away a capsule up to 5 times, and then you have to keep the last one. But I was looking for an orange one, didn't find one, so I'm like, I'm on the last one. It's a black one. I don't even know what stat is black. So I hit it. Game goes, boom, HP. I'm like, okay, first off, there is no color next to the HP except for the big yellow text, so we're off to a great start at this point. Secondly, I looked this up after the fact, the colors in most of these just kind of boost up your HP.
All do.
I think they all do. That's what I noticed. Everything, didn't matter what I chose, it was always boosting my HP.
Lastly, only one And only one of these capsule colors will give you a card. And I'm sorry if I'm wrong. Actually, I'm not even sorry if I'm wrong on this. I think it's completely random.
Seems
like it.
You might wonder why Clay was swearing about the system. The answer is it's absolutely nonsensical and maddening. I believe that all you want is white capsules. Anything else is you don't want it.
Yeah, because nothing else gives you cards. But I think it's only sometimes they give you cards. But I think the white capsules only also give you small increases of your HP.
That's right.
And while we're at it, I still have absolutely no idea how the damage in this game works. Like, I've gotten, like, 15 hits or something past his guard, and I'll get him, like, almost dead or half dead, or, oh, I just completely demolished him, or it's just, it's completely random as far as I can tell.
It tricks you into thinking that there's like some logic or reason behind it, because it has like all those little balloons that dissipate as you like attack, right? So if it's like your four over his defense, you're like, oh, boop, 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 I popped the big balloons. That means I'm hurting him. And then like when you, and it's like, oh, three damage, you hit him three times. And then you look at what happens to their little HP meter. It's like, it's different every time. I don't know what relationship that has to, like, to me, like, you can't do a game, like, the whole point of making a digital card game as opposed to just making a regular like turn-based RPG would be to like have some kind of mechanic in it that is similar to a card game where there are predictable results in what you do. Like, you can't, like, it wouldn't work if it's like, you know,
are you saying this one doesn't work because it's not going to be consistent for you?
I'm sure there is some kind of logic to it. I don't think that it actually is as random as it seems, but the problem is the game cannot communicate that to you. Or if that's even possible, it just chooses not to. But I don't say that it cannot. I say it cannot because if it could, I feel like it would, because the intro, like the tutorial section is interminable. It is a purgatory of just horrible words. Text and it just wastes every aspect of your time.
I got about halfway through it. I'm like, I think I got this.
I felt like my way of like, no, you know, part of me is saying like, you can't rank the game fairly unless you went all the way through the tutorial and understand exactly what the game's mechanics are, et cetera, et cetera. And then part of me is like, no, if you have to do this to understand the game, it's a failed game. This is a game for 8-year-olds. It's not a game for adults. Like, you cannot put this much stuff into it. Like, it's just wrong. Every impulse that went into this is just totally ass backwards. It's all wrong.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, because the core of it, the surface level of it, is okay. I mean, like I said, somebody out there likes the series. It kind of keeps popping up, and we never quite get rid of it. Although I haven't seen it since, so who knows, maybe we have. But, the first round, first map or whatever, I was like, that's kind of okay. And then I started delving into the mechanics. I'm like, this is all nonsense!
That's gibberish! That's it. That's the point of doing a digital board game or digital card game, is that it's supposed to, like, with, okay, so look, you know, with RPGs, right? Like with pen and paper type things, like a pen and paper RPG does have an element of randomness to it. It's not totally predictable what's going to happen. That's expected. So when you translate that to, like, you know, a dungeon crawler, like PC game, right? It makes sense that it's not always like you do the same attack. It's not going to have exactly the same damage because there's a randomness element to it. That's built into the game. A card game should not be like that. Unless there's a card game that comes with like a 20-sided die or something like that. Some of them probably do. But I don't get it. I don't understand why you would digitize this.
It's like maybe it's targeting like 8-year-olds. I do wonder if part of the kind of nonsensical laziness of the design, or maybe not laziness, it does seem kind of nonsensical at least, is basically just to give younger children, younger audience fans, just kind of random dials and switches to just turn on and off, like just flick on and on, complete nonsense, and they can get through the game eventually.
I honestly, like, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm so far removed from the intended audience of this game that I cannot understand the appeal, but I really don't think that a kid who really is into Dragon Ball would play this game and be like, I really like this because I really like Dragon Ball and I'll suffer through anything because Dragon Ball is awesome. Because you don't get the cool Dragon Ball stuff in this. You just get the same barely animations. Really, like, it starts out where it shows like Goku or whatever doing the Hadouken pose, and he's just stuck doing that until it happens. And it's everything about it is wrong. Like, look, I'm again not a Dragon Ball fan. I think that's pretty clear. I like some things about, the creature designs and stuff that Akira Toriyama does and all that. I don't understand why he has exactly like one male face and exactly one female face. That I don't know, but he seems to be in on that joke, so I'll accept it. But like the thing is like, there are, you know, there's a good Dragon Ball fighting. There are multiple good Dragon Ball fighting games out there, I think. Yeah. I've played one of them recently that is like, it looks like a Dragon Ball episode. It's actually more exciting than a Dragon Ball episode because stuff happens constantly instead of like sporadically.
The funny joke, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, but it's cool. Like I'm talking about Dragon Ball Fighters, right? Yes. Where it's like if you knock out an opponent with a special move or whatever, they don't just like go flying off screen. They go flying into like the scenery and they hit something and there's like a huge cloud of dust that erupts. And it looks like the cartoon. It looks cool. It's communicating some of the
fun. That's literally why you watch like 20 episodes of the cartoon. You watch 20 episodes of the cartoon so that one guy gets pushed into the ground and then it's like, yes, they hit them. Yes.
I knocked him into a mesa and the mesa collapsed and cracked in half. And then there was like a huge dust cloud. And then I had to power up for like 20 damn minutes.
And then the dust settles and they're standing up and you're like, oh my God,
no,
they're still standing.
I don't have to take this.
Maybe this person has the real ultimate power.
You know what? I was going to say I'm going to find something Xerxes likes and make fun of it while we do an episode, but then I couldn't think of anything Xerxes actually likes.
Yeah, I hate everything.
Damn it!
Checkmate.
But look, the damning thing about this game is you can say there's better like Dragon Ball Z fighting games that capture Dragon Ball Z better, but there are role-playing games that capture Dragon Ball Z better.
You'd hope so, though.
I don't know. That's not so obvious. Like the show, as I've seen it, doesn't seem to lend itself well to any game except for fighting games.
No,
there are character moments that you can do in an RPG format. They do have, usually it's just anime filler, but they do have, you know, lots of little side characters that just kind of talk and hang out. They're all right. Although I do think it's one of the reasons the franchise has sort of stuck on portable and handhelds is like cheaper format to produce for, and you're not expected to do huge spectacular things. Yeah,
not anymore. But it's one of the interesting things I learned about Dragon Ball recently, because I had to do like a Nielsen test in my own house and be like, why do you like Dragon Ball, son? And he was like explaining it to me. And a lot of the stuff that he thinks is the best is actually the stuff he just talked about, like the throwaway character stuff. Like he thinks it's funny that Goku, he said Goku is like, I was like, so what's he do? Is he like just fight all the time? He's like, no, actually he's like a farmer. And I'm like, okay, really?
Oh,
he's like, yeah, that's what he does. I'm like, so how much of his time does he spend farming? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he's like, well, most of the shows are not about him farming, but it seems like that's what he does for his job. That like that seems to be what he does. Like,
that's why don't they super thing that's new?
But why don't they just do a game like that? There's a game, Sorcerian. You guys ever play Sorcerian?
Fun fact: Sorcerian is how I joined the website.
Yeah, so you know, like the whole thing about Sorcerian is like in between adventures, like your character just goes back to their farm and farms. Like you could. This was all there, like you could do it, you know. But anyway,
it doesn't make a good card game.
Does it make a good card? Like, I don't really care. Like, to me, it's just like the card game itself is okay. And the problem with the game is that the card game is what I really want to do. Is I want to have card game battles, and it seems like it wastes an awful lot of time in between that with all these like cutscenes and stuff. Where again, it's like watching an episode of the show where you don't see the exciting stuff happen; you're told about it happening.
Okay, that happen.
It's like if you watch every single episode, but the camera angle never changed from like 3,000 feet in the air.
That this game tells you about the exciting stuff that that you do get to see in the show. And it's one of the reasons you're watching the show is for the, like, the 2 to 5 right. minutes of stuff happening in an episode.
Right. That is my understanding. And the game doesn't give you that stuff. Instead, what it does is it shows you, it's like, oh, this is happening, like, in the abstract to, like, a little game board piece. Like, it's like...
Yeah, because it expects you to have watched the show, internalized what happens in the show, and then kind of be like, yeah, it's the bit where that happens, except you don't see it. You just have
every
to imagine.
Now and then, it does show you like a cutscene where something happens, but it's usually at the climax of like a stage or whatever in the thing. And I get it. Like, you can't do everything. But this is the Nintendo DS. Like, this, you're not doing this on like the Master System. Like, you have resources at your disposal. You know, like, you can do something with this and show people something. But I think that the main thing is that you just can't, like, marry that to the card game and make it make sense.
I mean, if the card game was good, it wouldn't be an issue, right?
The card game, how good or bad is the card game, Clay?
It's not great. It's war with a couple of extra rules, and some of those rules are beyond my ken. So
also, it uses some bizarre leveling up mechanic to make it.
Yes.
Which is pretty bad. Mm. Yeah. If that just made sense. Like, I just hate the idea that it's like, hey, check out which one of these, which they basically look like, you know, whippets. They look like CO2 pods or something like that.
they're capsules from something in the franchise, aren't they?
Oh, they're Poi Poi capsules. They're, that's another thing. That's what they look like. They're called Poi Poi capsules or Hoi Poi capsules in this, which is not what we call them in America. They're just called capsules. Because Hoi Poi is like a Japanese onomatopoeia for the... Sort of.
Yeah, they're freaking whippets. We all know it. So
get strong like Goku, kids.
We all see is like the green vegetable fighter man, like just like puke his guts out.
Are you talking about Cell? Is that who you're talking about?
No, he's talking about Piccolo.
I'm talking about, and I do not care.
But no,
that's one thing I did like about Dragon Ball. Somebody explained to me like when I was a kid, I had a kid in my elementary school, like he was in usually in my class for. Just by chance, a Japanese kid. And he was really into Dragon Ball because that was what Japanese kids were reading and doing and stuff like that. So he explained a lot of this stuff to me. And that's where a lot of my knowledge comes from Dragon Ball. It's like it's third hand like that, where he's like,
enthusiasm.
Manga was out in 1972.
No, it was not that old.
1970.
No, it's not that old. It's not, it's really not that old.
It's not. It's like 1984. 84.
No, I mean they were getting into what he was in, like it was the classic Dragon Ball story. That was what was going on when I was a kid. Okay. By proxy. Like I don't know how many, it might have been a couple years removed. But anyway.
Anywho. This is
this
not
game
a
sucks.
Game.
Where do we want to put it?
I'm white.
Better than NetHack.
I'm just gonna if you want to just push him to the side and we can just rank this somewhere in the trash tier.
I'm scrolling. So
Windy Every Which Way is awesome, and it's at 318 for some reason. It's got to go below that.
Oh, I've kept scrolling. I'm well into the 400.
We got Fortune Street at 443. I hate this more than Fortune Street.
That's yeah.
No, I disagree. Fortune Street is like yeah. Oh well, no. You're right. You're right. No, never mind. I thought you were putting this above Fortune Street.
No, it's
because I'm not really
Fortune
paying attention.
Street,
yeah, you're right.
Fortune Street, at the very least, it takes the tricky math that you would have to do playing Fortune Street and justifiably just does it for you, which improves the game.
Yes.
So, good.
Okay, so we're in proper trash tier with 506 with Sword of Vermillion. No, I think
more
this goes below Sword of
Vermillion. I wish
good
that
Lord.
Game was better.
Yeah, no, there's things I like about Sword of Vermillion.
Like the soundtrack.
Hell yeah!
I've got to shout out that the soundtrack is also from the gentleman that did Outrun and those sort of soundtracks. So really good stuff. Listen to the Sword of Vermillion soundtrack if you didn't yet. I said to do it on the episode. I'm saying do it again. Sword of Vermillion. It's got a good soundtrack.
So what the hell is the Fabulous Wanda?
It's not as bad as the Fabulous Wanda.
That's insane.
If you want to talk about the Fabulous Wanda, you got to play it. You got to.
No, better yet, you really got to listen to it. The Fabulous Wanda is currently what Clay is doing is unacceptable.
I was actually asking because I fucking hate this game. I really
No, it's not that bad.
Okay.
Fabulous Wanda is currently ranked number 531, the lowest possible game on the list.
Booker Man is.
It's not that bad.
520.
No. I guess
this game is not that bad.
Well, you say that, but I want to ask because you have been dancing on this. You've said that, you know, it's a bit disappointing. It sounds like it's a big waste of the actual license. Even if you don't like the show,
yeah,
it's a waste of the license of the show. Is that correct? Because that probably makes it pretty poor.
So, like, I'm looking at the Sonic Labyrinth territory for this.
That's a waste of the Sonic license.
That is.
The Sonic is, it, but this, it, Sonic is not a license. It's a thing that Sega owned. But yeah, go ahead.
Above This Means War, because This Means War is just dreadful. This
doesn't have as much racism, so that's good.
Yeah, it's only got Mr. Popo.
It's got as much racism as the actual Dragon Ball series.
I mean, it's got the pig in the Chinese army hat, right? Like, that's a whole thing.
That is a thing, but...
That's a character.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Vegas Tactical Gladiator, which is at 501.
No, because that game has a really cool cover.
Or a terrible cover.
Helpless Transformer is still one of my favorite comparison points.
I do like Helpless Transformer.
Okay, so it's...
Okay, look, it's got to go below Sewer Shark, at least. Yeah. Sewer Shark is a technical marvel of a sort.
Sword of Vermillion is actually one where I'm like, wow, this is not good in terms of how it actually runs as well. Like, the actual game is like, wow, you took Sword and Sorcery and made me really bored and hate it.
Yeah.
So it is kind of that...
What they got Boris Vallejo or something to do the cover art for that.
Yeah, with like, the muscle horse. It's got muscle horse. That
why
is
do that
horse.
For that game? Yeah, I don't know. Like, look, I think it's got to go below Sewer Shark. It's got to go below Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. I do kind of prefer it to Sword of Vermillion, but I'll bend on that.
Right between Pong and Sword of Vermillion, because I really hated Pong the Next Level. I played that for about 20 minutes. I got a good hour into this one.
Pong, yeah, but that's Next Level featuring.
But to be fair, pattern. It takes about a good hour to get through like the first opening like
well,
area.
Well, at least Pong the Next Level
because it goes on
it, like
forever.
I got the first level done in like 10 minutes, so I don't.
No,
know
you
problems.
Didn't. You liar!
Yes,
you're
I
a lying
did.
Liar.
He's
he lies
an expert
time,
professional at video games. He's a genius level intellect.
I'm very good at card games, so
I would honestly potentially believe that, Mr. Magic Adjudicator. Yeah. This guy is a rule man. He makes the rules up.
Man, you haven't played a pen and paper RPG until I've DM'd it because there's a lot of coin flipping involved. It's not just this podcast.
We're familiar with the coin flipping, yes.
Oh, yeah. The coin of science appears in all my games.
So it's got to go below Order of the Griffin now.
No. Okay, all right, look. Below Pong, above Alone in the Dark 2008, or below Alone in the Dark 2008, above Brain Dead 13?
I'm thinking here because Alone. I do actually like Alone in the Dark 2008.
That has some good ideas. Yes.
Yeah. What the hell? Below Alone in the Dark.
Okay, that's where it goes. Okay. Below Alone in the Dark 2008, and above Brain Dead 13.
And will Clade ever convince Xerxes that some things are good? Find out next episode.
You have before. Don't lie. Don't misrepresent. It's happened before.
They have to watch the next episode of the show. That's the whole point. You sell
that's right.
On the next episode. You say, Will,
wait,
Will
Clade
stand
is still
up?
Powering up his influence power. Yeah.
Here comes the spirit bomb. It's coming, I swear to God. In the next 30 episodes, we're going to drop this spirit bomb.
Wait. One vein is bursting. Two veins are bursting. Three veins are bursting. We'll be right back.
That's all for this episode. Special thanks goes out to our lovely co-hosts and compatriots, our theme song MC Norm, check him out at Normally Retro on Twitter, and our technical assistant, video editor, and scriptwriter Ed Burns. You can support this podcast by making a small monthly donation at patreon.com/HG101. I know I did. By subscribing to the HG101 YouTube channel, and by following at GC9X and at HG_101 on Twitter. You can also hang out with us at our Discord channel. It's at bit.ly/HD Discord. But most importantly, help us spread the love of games by getting on iTunes, subscribing to HG101, and giving us a 5-star review. Do it because you like us and you want us to succeed. Until next time, keep keeping it real.